From NPR, it's the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting our all-pipsqueak highlight show. We've gathered together some of the tiniest hikes we've presented over the past couple of seasons to give you a concentrated dose of From the Top youth.
These kids may be tiny in stature, but not tiny in sound. These little kids are big musicians.
You all know our host, Christopher O'Reilly. Hello, Chris.
And you are?
I'm Joanne Robinson.
Ah, and we've got a really fun lineup of some of our youngest guests today. Go ahead, Joanne.
We've got an 11-year-old pianist from Virginia who delivers quite a nuanced performance of the music of Debussy. A 12-year-old violinist from California tosses off one of Vinyovsky's showpieces for the violin. And towards the end of the show, we've got a very young quartet from the Chicago area who performs a playful contemporary piece by David Stone.
Great stuff. And leading us off today is one of our more wonderful and quirkier pipsqueaks, 11-year-old cellist Oliver Aldort from West Newton, Massachusetts. I think you'll like the way he introduces his piece. It's delightfully pipsqueakish.
I'm going to play the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1 in A minor. Thank you.
Oliver Aldort, our 11-year-old cellist from West Newton, Massachusetts, playing from the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1. Just amazing. My gosh, you are a very old musician for 11 years old. Quite a mature performance. You've played this piece a lot, I guess, huh? We'll talk about that in a second. Now, you've just only recently moved to Newton, and you moved from an idyllic spot. Tell everybody where you were living before you came out here.
Washington State, Orcas Island.
Orcas Island is one of the most beautiful places in the world. Why did you move out of Orcas Island?
To study music here.
Well, I guess this is a pretty good place to study music. Kind of a quiet kid from a quiet island, but you're also somebody who loves the chaos of amusement parks. Am I going to assume roller coasters are your favorite?
Yeah, roller coasters are my favorite, and especially the ones that flip upside down.
You're a braver man than I. Heck, you can't get on some of those roller coasters. You're not quite tall enough for some of those really scary ones, are you? Or you've been on some scary ones, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Where's your favorite amusement park that you've been to so far?
Vancouver, BC.
Very nice park out there. You know there's a Six Flags not too far from Newton, but you didn't move to Boston for roller coasters. You moved here to study music, so who are you going to be studying cello with here?
Laura Bluestein and Paul Katz.
Both fine teachers and friends. By the way, there's some great orchestras in Boston you might want to play with at some point. Boston Symphony is pretty good, Boston Philharmonic, but I was impressed to learn that at your age you've already played quite a few times with orchestras, both professional orchestras and amateur ones, but I guess they weren't all as good as you were hoping they would be?
Right, yeah.
Now, to protect the innocent, let's say, don't say which orchestra it was, but there was an orchestra you played with in the Northwest somewhere that you had a funny way of describing. What did you tell your mom on the way home from that concert?
I told her that it felt like a herd of elephants behind me.
Did it sound a little like this?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Oliver, I'm sorry to say that that's something you're going to have to get used to. I've played with that orchestra a number of times. There are a lot of those about. Now, but even as a young man of your tender years, you're serious that you want to become a professional classical musician. What makes you so sure you want to get into music?
Well, I just love it. I've always known. At age 7, I asked my mom to book a recital in the hall on Orcas Island.
Nice, nice going. So you knew right away. Why the cello? Why did you choose the cello?
Well, my parents were taking me to these chamber music concerts, and so when we came back one time, I said I wanted to learn the cello, and I said it was because it leans on me and I didn't have to hold it up.
Very good plan, and very good choice, and you certainly seem born to it. We hope to hear great things from you very soon, and heard great things today. Thank you for being with us, Oliver.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oliver Aldort, 11-year-old cellist from West Newton, Massachusetts.
Go to our website this week to give a face to Oliver's voice and all of the young voices you're hearing on today's highlight show.
Okay, so Oliver may be young, but he had a pretty good ego for his age, and he was definitely forthright in conversation. I really can't say that about our next young performer, the 11-year-old pianist Kevin Liu.
Kevin was so shy, a straight interview with him wouldn't cut it.
In fact, he was hesitant to say much of anything. That is, until we took extreme measures to get him to talk. Kevin, welcome to the program. I would like very much to just let you sit down and play, but after carefully studying your file, we've decided that you're not doing anything until we've given you the third degree. There's a lot of really interesting things about you that we want to get, you know, get out of the way really, really quickly. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Just short responses. Here we go. Soccer or skateboarding?
Soccer.
Competitions or practicing?
Competitions.
Makuta or Tahunuva?
Tahunuva.
Cleaning out the bagel bins or washing the windows?
Washing the windows.
Sharks or dolphins?
Dolphins.
Final Fantasy or The Sims?
Final Fantasy.
And finally, middle school or elementary school?
Elementary school.
Done very well, my son. But actually, some of your responses require a little elucidation, if you wouldn't mind. First of all, for those of us over the age of 12, who or what are Makuta and Tahunuva?
They're Lego Bionicles, which you put together yourselves.
All right. And now, is there a good guy? Is there a bad guy? Is like Makuta a good guy?
No, it's the opposite. Makuta's the bad guy and Tahunuva's the good guy.
Like, what if I had walked into a room and, like, I ran into Makuta and I thought he was a good guy? And thank you for telling me this. I'm forewarned. Okay, so the windows or the bagel bins, how do you end up doing these kinds of chores in your life?
Well, my dad owns a bagel shop in Williamsburg, which is around here.
Okay, yeah. And so you help around?
Yeah, sometimes I go there and help him out.
Lou, a very nice Jewish name. Good bagel shop. You're only 11, but I was very interested to hear that when I asked you competitions or practicing, you chose competitions over practicing.
Yeah.
So, like, you've had some positive competition experience?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, when I was at the Virginia Music Teachers Association, when I got to the piano, the audience kind of just moved away, like in a dream.
They were just, and like, so, in the darkness?
Yeah.
You like them that way?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Kevin. You can still hear them unwrapping their candy wrappers. They never, unfortunately, recede quite that far into the background. But that's a nice image. So you were sort of like there on your own, but you could feel this well of admiration at the same time. Nice one. Very nice. And you chose, I know you're not in elementary school anymore, but you chose elementary school over middle school. How come?
Because in elementary school, they give you breaks during the school recess.
Recess. Yes. We like the recess. Kevin, it only gets worse. I mean, let me let you in on that. No recess for the weary. I guess the sooner I let you play your piece, the sooner you can get to recess today, huh?
Yeah.
So why don't you introduce your piece?
I'm going to play Dr. Gaudi's Ad Parnassum, Children's Corner by W.C.
Okay, stage is yours.
Thank you.
He plays with such a sense of calm, really graceful too. We heard 11-year-old Kevin Liu from Newport News, Virginia, performing Dr. Gradus Ad Parnassum from the Children's Corner Suite by Claude Debussy.
From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, helping young people of exceptional promise achieve their full potential through education. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E.
Thanks, Joanne. Sometimes little kids who play music at an advanced level, like the kids on today's show, have parents that are pretty tough on them. No parents are perfect. Some parents push hard and the kids thrive. Some parents push hard and it falls apart. The young violinist up next on the show definitely has a demanding mom, but I think you'll see that she also has an impressive will of her own. That strong will shows up in her music making as well as in her interview. Here's 12-year-old violinist Eunice Kim performing the Polonaise Brillante No. 1 in D major by Polish composer Henryk Wieniawski. Kim, a 12-year-old violinist from San Bruno, California, playing Wieniawski's Polonaise Brillante. Wow, Eunice, the last time we had that piece on stage was Josh Bell, and you've totally dispelled any memory of that performance, I gotta say. As good as it was, this was just so exciting to have you come out and start the program with this. This is a program ender. It's a tough piece. I mean, you're going first and playing this really hard. Were you nervous at all? You just like seem so at ease.
Well, actually, when I play in front of a lot of people, I think I play a lot better.
You wowed me. Does anybody like have the same effect on you that you had on the audience here?
Gil Shaham is my hero.
Is he?
Yeah, I love his musicality and his personality is so nice and
sweet guy and a great player.
Yeah.
Nice role model. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't mind being famous like him.
No.
So, you know, you're working towards that pretty steadily. Is your mom sort of a spur to help you move and work towards that goal?
She helps me a lot, but sometimes she's really strict about stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what about getting ready for this show? I mean, was it easy, you know, let's just go play in Boston?
What she said was, this is going to be on the radio, and people all over the U.S. is going to hear you, but you're not improving at all.
Wow. That's pretty harsh, but I mean... So your reaction to that is to go lock yourself in your room and cry, or to work harder, or what's the reaction you have to that?
Well, I would work harder, but I would also yell at my mom for saying
all right. You go, girl. So, but you and your mom have good times together, and tell a story. She actually, you were together, and there was a minister who was praying for your play. What was that about?
All right, so my family and I, we went to a party to our friend's house, and there was a really, really famous pastor there. So my mom wanted him to pray for me, and he did, but for 30 minutes straight, he just kept on saying, please let her be a famous pianist instead of a violinist.
You are kidding. You couldn't like tug on his shirt. I guess you could. You were frozen to the spot, and
he
kept saying it over and over again.
Yeah, but he's really old. He's about 90 years old.
And have you sat down to the piano to try it out?
Yeah, but I sound terrible.
Oh really? Well, that guy in San Francisco might have been praying that you become a famous pianist, but you're certainly very much on your way to becoming a famous violinist. We are very, very proud to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us. Eunice Kim, our 12-year-old violinist from San Bruno, California.
You are listening to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting our All Pipsqueak Highlight Show. I'm Joanne Robinson here in the studio along with Christopher O'Reilly, and this is the highlight show where the age limit is 13 years old.
Yeah, don't trust anyone over the age of 13.
Coming up, we've got a very young quartet from the Chicago area performing a whimsical string quartet by contemporary composer David Stone. And up next, the music of Poulenc performed by a 12-year-old flutist from Utah. Also, roving reporter Haley Golbuck teams up with that young flutist to pull a prank on Chris.
Yeah, they pretended to spy on me on tour.
Her findings are quite compelling, actually.
Uh-huh.
From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence.
It's not all that unusual for a kid to start an instrument like the cello, piano, or violin at a very early age. It's a little more unusual for kids to excel on the woodwind instruments that early. Still, we occasionally come across them, like 12-year-old flutist Helen McGar. She's from the town of Linden, Utah, and here she is performing the first movement of the flute sonata by Francis Poulenc.
Thank you.
Our 12-year-old flutist in the Poulenc Sonata was Helen McGar from Linden, Utah. Beautifully played, my gosh.
Thank you. 12 years old.
Goodness, that's wonderful. It's been a couple of years since I was 12. You try on prom dresses, for instance. You go to the mall and, like, you and your friends just, like, try on, like, 100 dresses?
We go into the stores and we tell the ladies that we're going to try them on. And so they say, well, we'll help you because we have nothing to do.
Fantastic. So you just, like, do little fashion shows for each other?
Yeah, we parade around.
And then at the end you just say, not in the mood to buy anything today.
So. Yeah, I'm not old enough.
Oh, okay. Sort of slipped your mind when you walked in. You've recently had the traditional all-girl sleepover.
Yeah.
How was that? Did you guys stay up all night and watch movies and stuff?
Yeah, and we called boys.
Called boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened when you called boys?
Well, we called them because they were our friends, because we were really bored, and so they just sang songs to us because it was really
Really?
Funny.
Nice. And I love this. You used to play, like, this spying game with your brother.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, to just, like, walk around with Sherlock Holmes hats and magnifying glasses, or, like, you were actually spying on your family?
Yeah, we took around clipboards with papers, and we wrote all these plans around the house, where we were going to go. And we went in my sister's closet and spied on her there, but she was really boring. So we went to my mom, and she pretended that she didn't know we were there, but she did, so she did all these weird stuff.
Oh, so she knew you were spying, so she would, like, get on the phone and say, how about that plot to kill Helen? You know, are you still on with this?
Yeah.
That kind of, probably not that drastic, I would imagine.
No.
Probably would have scared me, too. But that's kind of, sounds like kind of fun.
Chris, but don't you think this is just a little creepy?
Hello, Haley.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Don't I think what's creepy?
You know, Helen spying on people.
Creepy, not especially. I remember doing the same kind of thing around the neighborhood, spying when I was a kid.
Well, that's good.
Why is that good?
It's good that you don't find it creepy.
Why? What difference does it make?
We spied on you, Chris.
You spied on me when?
Just yesterday. And I took my roving reporter audio equipment along so we could bug you.
Bug me?
I was psyched because I've always wanted to know what you do on tour when we're not working together. And I thought there might be some journalistic value, you know, the truth about a concert pianist on the road.
God, I'm trying to remember, like, what I did yesterday. How embarrassing was it?
Introduce the first cut, Helen.
Well, in the morning, we hid behind the maid's cart outside your hotel room for what seemed like forever. Finally, you came out, but you seemed agitated. You practically ran to your car.
Yeah, this was spy work at its most exciting. You were clearly a man on a mission.
Can I take your order?
Yeah, give me a bacon double cheeseburger with extra bacon. Look, I can explain. I never eat the bun. It's sort of an Atkins thing.
Anyway, we hurried back to the hotel before you did to break in.
Break
and
in?
And set up our equipment in your closet to listen to you rehearse.
No. No. Idiot. Don't bother looking at the notes, what they say. They might actually be able to tell you something.
Wow, Chris. Maybe you should go a little easier on yourself.
Yeah, yesterday was a good day.
He's like that. Oh, but Chris, we'd also wired your phone.
Oh, I'd love being on hold forever.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Single, white, male, seeks fun-loving companion to take in the occasional concert.
Okay, cut the tape. We've heard about enough.
The engineer is mercifully fading out the playback of that show. Thank you.
It's hard to face the truth like that, isn't it, Chris?
Of course, the writers of our show, in dreaming up that piece of fine literature, were departing seriously from reality.
Right. Whatever. Our fantastic young flutist and spy kid was 12-year-old Helen McGar from Linden, Utah. She teamed up with From the Top's roving reporter, Haley Golbach. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
So far on today's All Pipsqueak Highlights show, the kids we featured have played fairly well-known repertoire. Generally, really young kids don't present us with that much unusual music. Not so with the string quartet coming up next. They brought us a really fun piece we'd never heard before by the contemporary composer David Stone. These adventuresome young chamber musicians call themselves the Giuoco String Quartet. We'll hear why that name in a minute. They are Emma Steele, 12-year-old violinist from Chicago, and Hannah Salonik, 12-year-old violinist from Evanston, Illinois, Nick Lash, 13-year-old violist, and his brother Ben Lash, 11-year-old cellist, also from Evanston. Here's their performance of The Second Miniature String Quartet by David Stone.
Thank you.
We heard the Jaco String Quartet, ages 11 to 13, playing David Stone's second miniature string quartet. So, Emma, what does Jaco mean? Where do you guys get your name?
Well, it means playful in Italian.
Very good, right. And so, who started the quartet? You and Nick, I think, were the first ones.
Yeah.
You were originally going to call it something else, I think.
Yeah, the Gigglebox String Quartet.
Gigglebox String Quartet. But you decided to go with something more Italian, a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why the Gigglebox to start with, Nick?
Well, like, every time during rehearsals, we'd, like, laugh at almost nothing, and we'd end up laughing for like 10 minutes straight, and we'd get hardly anything done.
It's a good thing. A good giggling fit is, it makes Bruckner 8th go by very quickly, actually. Now, meanwhile, Nick, you and Ben, your parents have a wonderful but and very Jaco way of getting you guys to practice. Tell us about that.
Well, they bribe us with M&Ms. And it works.
It works, Ben? I mean, but your dad and your mom do this. How is it, is your dad more generous than your mom with the M&Ms, or?
Oh, no. Opposite.
Opposite, really?
He only gives, like, one thing first thing you do.
So, like, if you practice for an hour, he gives you, like, how many M&Ms?
10.
10 M&Ms in an hour? And you and Emma, Hannah, have something in common, too. You have a favorite TV show that you watch?
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies. Really?
Kind of,
huh? And so, guys, you like it too?
No.
No.
Extreme opposite.
They want to kill them.
Really?
So
they want
mean.
To do bad things to the Teletubbies?
Yeah. And there's this game online where you shoot them.
Yeah? So who's the boss of the group? Anybody?
Well, what's going to happen is, Emma's going to point at me, I'm going to point at Emma, uh-huh. And it's just going to get completely mixed up.
Okay.
So I think we better call it a democracy.
I'd like that idea.
Yeah, and we could just say our coaches.
Very good. And I got to say, I mean, for a group of 11, 12, and 13-year-olds, you guys have actually been together for a fairly long time. I mean, how long has the quartet been in place?
Well, with Ben and Hannah, 3 years.
That's a long time. You know, you venerable oldsters, you started when you were 8 or 9. My gosh. I mean, it's amazing. So great job, you guys. And thank you for bringing this unknown and quite Jaco piece, the David Stone Quartet. It was great to hear you.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Emma Steele and Hannah Solano, clarinets, both 12. Nick Lash, a violist, and his brother Ben, 11, cello.
One of the things that strikes me now in listening back to that interview is how the group, on the one hand, loves to talk about M&Ms, Teletubbies.
Giggling.
But on the other hand, their musical collaboration is pretty adult, and I'd have to say probably a lot healthier and more direct than many older quartets I know.
But what's the deal with the M&M compensation?
Oh, I know.
I mean, come on, 10 M&Ms an hour? They deserve a raise.
Why don't you give their dad a call, Joanne? Give him a piece of your mind.
Maybe I will.
Up next on the show, Brazilian guitar music performed by a young man named Tim Calobre.
He's 10 years old.
And what a musically expressive player. Here he is performing Chorus No. 1 by Heitor Villa-Lobos.
Thank you.
We heard 10-year-old guitarist Tim Colobre performing Chorus No. 1 by Heitor Villa-Lobos.
He is really so impressive musically. You gotta wonder where that intensity comes from.
Right. Is it some teacher, or is it a very musical family? Well, in Tim's case, the answer is somewhat elusive. From the Top's roving reporter Haley Goldbach invited his mom, Selena, up on stage with us to ask her about it. Welcome, Selena.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
Ms. Clobrate, do you know if Tim was exposed to classical guitar? Do you know anyone who plays guitar?
No. In fact, Tim's a really resolute kind of guy for some things, and it's kind of amazing. He's tenacious. When he was 4, he told me that he wanted to play the guitar, and I was like, wow, where'd that come from? Because my husband and I don't play the guitar. We know nobody who played the guitar at the time. We didn't play guitar music, and we had a piano. We didn't have a guitar. So we tried to steer him towards the piano, thinking, well, this'll do, this'll tide him over, and we figured he would just kind of forget about the guitar. But he kept after us, and from 4 until almost 8, we finally did break down and give him guitar lessons, and I'm glad that we did.
That's great. Now, Tim, you've got a very famous teacher who teaches you the guitar.
My guitar teacher is Bill Canningeiser, and he's a member of the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet.
Yeah, very wonderful guitarist and a great teacher. Now, you started out on the piano and then switched to the guitar, or are you still playing piano a little bit?
I'm still playing piano.
Yeah? But out of the blue, you just decided you had to play the guitar? I mean, did you hear somebody play it, or did you see it in a store, or what happened? I mean, how did you decide?
I don't really remember, but I just remember that I really wanted to play the guitar.
Yeah.
I feel, as a parent, really lucky because I just get to see him go. It all comes from him, and he just takes off with it, and I just sit back and enjoy the ride.
So interesting.
I know, such a quiet kid, but apparently completely self-motivated.
We're going to go out with our youngest performer of the day, an 8-year-old pianist from San Diego.
The lovely Serena Zhang.
Here she is performing Arabesque No. 1 by Claude Debussy. This is Christopher O'Reilly.
And I'm Joanne Robinson.
Hope you enjoyed this week's celebration of really young kids. Please join us next week when we take it from the top.
This special highlights episode of From the Top was written and produced by Tim Banker with Tom Bagley for Tom Bagley Productions. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, with additional material co-produced by Scott Schillen. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Additional technical direction by John Newton and Sound Mirror Boston. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. For more information about this program and our educational activities, visit fromthetop.org.